Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 310, part 2, the conclusion to The Grass. Today is Sunday, September 22nd, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Were you happy, you listening on the radio, when you had all that money? Were you? Well, I sure wish I had some of it now, Pucky boy. God. Hey. But next, grass is often used in the scripture as an emblem of the wicked. And David speaks from his experience that the righteous man is apt to grow envious of the wicked when he sees them in their prosperity. The prosperity, he says, of the ungodly. Don't envy them. Well, look at this guy over here. Man, you know those people that just talk about rich people all the time? That's all they can talk about. So I'm Greek, so when Onassis was alive, everybody would say, are you related to Onassis? I said, no. No. I never even, you know, scraped any barnacles off his boats. I don't know him. And I was at a church last week, and a guy came up and he says, hey, here's one of your kind. And I said, isn't it funny that when they see two Greeks, there isn't very many of us, it's like they get two Bronco Nagurski and, you know, Ape Man, like two wrestlers. I wonder what's going to happen. Then they kind of stand back. I wonder what happens when you get two of these creatures together. They could do that with Christians. Hey, here's one of your kind. Look out. Stay out of the way of their swords. They might, when they're swinging at each other, they might cut your head off. Well, you see their fine homes. Look at that house. Wonder how much that cost. Oh, driving down Summit Avenue. Look at that. I bet that's $1 million. Maybe even $1.5 million. Wow. So what? Are you healthy? Is your nose sucking in air? Can you still walk around? Are your eyes working? Are your ears working? Is your body functioning? I'd say that was a miracle, wouldn't you? Look at the clothes. That's an $800 suit. Then they got some kind of a watch they have now. Anybody know what kind of watch that is? A special kind of a watch. What do they call that watch? Oh, he's got one of those fingly daughters on, huh? That's $3,500 for that thing. What good is it? It just tells the time. Here, I got one here I received as a gift 5 years ago. You know, I think it was $100 and some. It doesn't lose even a minute a year. It drives that guy crazy every time he takes his watch off. Takes it off to take a shower. He's in the shower. My watch! My watch is out in the front room! My watch! Get my watch, huh? What a worry. You got to take it to bed with him, put it under his pillow. And everybody's always looking at it. Look at that watch. Look at that car. Boy, how much did that set that guy back? I bet it must be $30,000 the way they cost now. Wow. Where does it take him? To his miserable house? To his miserable job? To his miserable friends? Not always. But if it is your God, it's miserable. I wonder what that ring set that guy back. Oh, look at that ring. Ooh. Look how it glows. Look how it sparkles in the sunlight. Flash, 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 flash. Take that. A lot of times you don't want a ring on. You go to work on something and it'll pull your whole finger off. Now take that, Mr. Grass. Your arm won't even be able to hold that up in a few years. All them rings and things on your arm. Their whole lifestyle looks so easy. Is there a song like that? It's so easy to fall in love, huh? Yeah, you can fall in love with that. Look at their lifestyle. I mean, what do they do in the morning? Get up and they exercise with the TV in their exercise room. And it's so easy. Especially when we have troubles, it looks so easy, the rich way. The way of the prosperous, and we just fall in love with the Godfather. And then we go see Godfather 2, Godfather 3, because it looks so good. Look, they got everything. Got everything but their family because they machine gunned them all down. All that glitters is not gold. And we felt a lot of times that we are being scourged too much, chastened every day, and everybody else has got everything, we ain't got nothing. What's going on, God? When the doors closed that we prayed would be open. God, open it up. Open the door, please, Lord. Open that door up. Open the door. Open the door. He won't open it up. There's a monster in there. Come in. Drool, drool. Come in. Isn't that right, Mike? Come into our bank. Yeah. Right? Let's see if we can use you. Huh? And so that door doesn't open. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But when we're under pressure, when finances come in a little late, when all of the wool is cut off and we're standing there shivering, we're all wet, and then they turn all over. We're just a skinny old little lamb. Oh, we look so miserable out there. God, God help me. They're all looking at me. They see me. They want me to go down. Yes. It is the nature of man to want another man to go down. Especially if we have a lot of wool on. Well, bad investments and what on? Now he might run headlong off the edge of a cliff because he got so much wool it's covering his eyes. He pulled the wool over his eyes. Boy, I tell you, it's nice to be clipped when it gets hot out. And then depression comes.
Oh God, I'm so depressed. I can't move one leg. Now that happens to everybody.
But don't stay in Depression Valley. It happens. You can stay there for weeks and weeks and weeks, shuffling through the valley of depression. Oh, I don't know what's wrong. I can't seem to get with it. How do I get out of this? Well, you get out of it. You said it. You walk out of it. You go out with a toothbrush, if necessary, and scrub your house. Take off those long, flowing, dirty night clothes that you've been walking around in for weeks. Depression robes. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of woolly heaviness. Put on the garments of praise. Linen. Not wool, not work robes, linen. Praise the Lord. Well, don't we sing that? Put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your arms to God. You mean it? How many people mean it? Oh, it's wonderful when you mean it. The garment of praise is a light linen, no wool situation. Doesn't have a whole lot of beads, barbels and beads and gold and painted on pictures and ritualistic stuff hanging on it. Like a great big old curtain, drapery. But when trials arise and tribulation calls, when the bitter cup is placed before us. Oh. Oh, good God. Oh, my God. Lord, does the cup have to be this big? Oh, you're crying about that little cup, are you? Here's one for you. And it seems like you'll never get done drinking out of that bitter cup. Burp. Will it ever end? Keep drinking. Pray the Lord to bless this cup of suffering. Isn't that the way to go? As long as you have to drink it, better pray a blessing over it. I know people in the old people's homes do that. A guy told me the other day, I just couldn't keep going into those these Elder Felder houses, and
because it smells in there. You know, old people smell. I says, no, it's the food they cook them. That's what you smell. This isn't the old folks. It's that food they have to drink through a straw. That green stuff they give them on a plate. You better eat all that or you won't get any more. And the old guy says, do me a favor, will you? Take this stink out of here. You like that? I like to talk to the elder people in them homes. Nursing homes. When people let us down, I never would have believed. Well, anybody else, but not this person. I can't believe it. It's a nightmare. Well, not why not wake up? Why lay in bed and just keep dwelling on a nightmare? Why not ask God anyway to bless your trials? We many times say, or at least we think this, how can this be consistent with the righteous government of God? I mean, hey, I belong to the kingdom of God, and look what these guys got over there. They're not depressed. They're not under pressure. They don't have to worry about finances. They don't have trials. They don't have tribulations. Oh, no. But then the psalmist says this, that in a short time we shall pass by the place of the wicked, and lo, he shall not be. We shall diligently consider his place, and lo, it shall not be. For he is soon cut down as the grass, and withereth away as the green herb. And so the grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth away. And even so shall we pass away, every one of us. Don't dig for lasting comfort on this earth. I should say in the minds of this earth. But where is the happiness? Where is the comfort when the judge commands his angels, bind them up in bundles and burn them? Won't that kill confidence? You still want to be that rich, fat, sassy cat that has no time for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, there's no sin in being rich, but if you don't know Jesus, you really are a fool. You're listening on the radio. Won't that kill pride and pomp? Now where is all the boasting? Now where is that loud mouth of blasphemies? Well, they are silent forever. They are, the Bible says, speedily consumed, nothing left but ashes. And so shall it be with the wicked life. Well, there you have it, the gospel found in the grass. Not a pretty picture for those who refuse the free gift of Jesus Christ, whereby it says, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises in 2 Peter 1 and 4. I think we should observe that word given. Peter says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. We are beholden, folks, for everything. Everything. It is the gift of God. We live upon divine charity. Don't you be worried about people that are in physical straits and they have to accept charity. Every one of us in here, you listening on the radio, from $10 or a quarter all the way up to billions, are charity cases. No, I'm a self-made man. Would you mind cutting off your head and cutting out your heart and putting a new one in then? Make a new one. All that we have received as a gift. Your breath, your sight, your hearing, your family, your standing, your ministry, your coming and your going. And all that we are to have must come the very same way. Is this my lot in life? Is this my portion? Huh? Is this my portion? Is this my lot in life? I mean, will I be down here on Oliver Avenue the rest of my life? Why not? That's my lot in life. What's so bad about that? I mean, I didn't even get anything, but nothing has come my way that God didn't bring my way or allow to come my way. I can't take credit for anything. You can't take credit for anything. Even you only get one breath at a time, one nose full at a time. Your life is in your nostrils. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We are unable to earn anything. The Bible says, but God is able to give us all things. Just like as parents, you can give your kids all things. Really, you can. All things that they need. Not all things that they want. You want a kid sitting around with Hershey yuckins all over his mouth all the time? No. And so salvation must be all a gift, a free gift of God, all free. Nobody deserves it. God says, I am giving you this. And so some refuse to believe this and are most miserable and spread their misery around, and they try to act like you got to go out and buy something. No, it's the free gift of God. The ministry, the gospel of Jesus Christ, will give unto all men that will just ask and receive it. You are receivers, and there's nothing that you can really give out unless God gives it to you to give. It's like you came down, you gave us some fire extinguishers, right? And God put it on your heart to bring those extinguishers down here. Now, if we would have had some hyper-spiritual person in there, they'd say, boy, must going to be the fire of the Holy Ghost coming in. It's coming to me now. That's why all those extinguishers are there. It's a sign. It's a sign. No, it's a regulation. It's the law. You got to have them in there to put fires out. I have been surrounded by total nuts all of my life, and I'm finally glad that I'm rid of that, and I can just minister the truth without arguing about the truth. The truth is the truth, and it'll stand on its own, but it's nice not to have to argue about it all the time. Isn't it? You're looking great. Huh? Didn't God really work a wonder with you? Didn't he? And you've lost like what? 72 pounds. You're only half the woman you used to be. How did she do that? By the grace of God. Huh? How did she do that? By the grace of God. And keeping her mouth shut. Right? Now some spiritual person will come along. Oh, I've seen you like this. A long time ago, 10 years ago, God showed me as a little teeny weeny person. Mm-hmm. And I'll take credit for what God did through you. Now I've seen this a long time ago. I foresaw the shadow coming. Oh, is that right? Grass? Wither top? Are you hearing this? Let me finish. It's an undeserved gift, a spontaneous, if you will, gift of divine love. God decided to make a promise one day. The promise of salvation is of the very same nature. It is more blessed to give than receive. And he that is blessed above all, the ever-blessed, God delights to give. It is, I should say, as much his nature to give as it is the nature of the sun to shine or a river to flow. So how blessed are we in being receivers? I think this is emphasized greatly when we reflect how necessary it is that we should receive. Isn't it necessary that you should receive? Why? So you can give it out. When we get tons and megatons of food, how necessary it is for us to receive. And then to freely give it out right away. You don't leave it in the truck until it just gets all rotten and try to store it up. Just like God's manna. It's only good for a short time. When the noonday sun comes up, it stank. Stank is a word for double stink, so it really did stinketh. Stank. Are you hearing it? How blessed we are as receivers. And for the things that we need are such that if we do not obtain them, like salvation, we lose it. We're lost, the Bible says, now and forever. You listening on the radio, receive the ending of this message, the gospel message. We are without life, we are without light, we are without hope, we are without peace, we are forever without God if we don't receive Christ as our personal Savior. And all you have to do is receive Him. And to receive Him and then walk back into darkness, oh, how dark is that darkness. And so if God doesn't give us according to the riches of His grace, we are worse than naked, poor and miserable. We are utterly, the Bible says, and altogether undone. It is not impossible that we should deserve such rich gifts. It's all ours for the mere asking. Oh, Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. Come in. That's how those people got saved Friday night. And the little girl, she could just barely talk.
How do I know things about Jesus?
And then the dad says, well, she's got a couple questions for you.
But how do I know?
It's easy to minister to a child. I says, because he's right in your heart.
Oh, okay.
Unless you receive as a child, you'll in no ways make it to the kingdom of heaven unless you become like a child, trusting. Are you hearing this? And so a promise of God must be a boon of grace. We can't claim that God should promise us His favor. Doesn't that eliminate pride? He who lives upon gifts should be humble and grateful. Can you admit that everything you receive comes from God and you can't cause anything to grow? You can't fashion a seed. You can't cause the rain. You can't cause anything. You are simply and altogether a receiver. And He even taught us to say, give us this day our daily bread. And therefore we are neither ashamed nor afraid to ask all things of Him. Daily breath, daily bread, daily hearing, daily living, daily. Ours is a life of dependency. You ever hear somebody say, well, you know, I think that those people use Jesus as a crutch. I said, give me a couple of them. Give me a godly crane to carry me, place me where I'm supposed to be. You are totally dependent upon the Lord. And as things disappear in this old world, and it is going down, as the things disappear in this old world, more and more we're going to have to seek the Lord, for we are totally dependent upon Him. Oh, and it's great to lose all that self-will. Stand there naked before the Lord and say, Lord, if I'm to prosper, give me a clipping. Oh, listen on the radio. Happy is the poverty which leads us to be rich in Christ. We earn nothing, and yet we receive everything, whereby are giving unto us exceeding and great and precious promises. People, the teachings and this teaching as to the promise coming of a pure gift should be told to those who feel they are totally lost. And there's a lot of them out there, isn't there, Jim? They're angry and they're mean and they got the great big old red nose and they just look terrible out there and their bodies stink and they have no good thing to think about themselves, nothing. Oh, they need to fully understand that the grace of God is sufficient to save their stinking, what they would call worthless body, and to let them know that there's, if they were the only person in this world and they were to cry out for the salvation of the Lord, that He would come and save them. I encourage you then to go out and to encourage others as to the free gift. To anyone willing to receive it. And remember, you are without merit. Christ is your merit. We don't go out there because you have medals on, meritorious duty, and the call of action. Yes, this is the battle of Hennepin Avenue. I serve there, serving Christ on Hennepin Avenue meritoriously. Yes, in the battle of this, in the battle of Nicollet Avenue, in the battle of the North Side, and so on like that. Yeah, I'm a real what you call Christian. I mean, in the purest sense, sharpshooter. No, your merit is only in Christ Jesus. Don't get too puffed up. Remember from whence you came. Remember your past life. And praise God that His grace is sufficient to save you all the way through your life. And that no one is below you. Christ, the Bible says, is no respecter of persons. Tell people, come on in the way you are. Come on in. Yes, it's all a free gift. This is the gospel that we have been sent to preach, and here it is. You listening on the radio now, listen carefully. I'm just about done here. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, say that word, whosoever, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah, that's for you. Well, I don't believe it, the bum says. Well, I don't believe it, the rich man says. Well, I don't believe it, the proud banker says. Well, I don't believe it. Well, when you get ready to believe, that's all you have to believe, and you shall be saved. This is the record that God has given us to eternal life. 1 John 5:11. You listening on the radio, on God's part, it is all giving, and on our part is all receiving. And so don't start to look at some Christian out there and say, I just can't be that good. I can't be that good. I'll never attain that. No, you can do nothing by yourself, but you can do all things well through Christ who strengthens you. The promise has already been made, and it's firm and freely given. God doesn't begin, let me close it, by giving and then claim inflation and start charging a price. There's no commission, no hidden cost, no buy with rebates, no easy payment plans, no losing by default. People all over are losing things by default. No repossessions. No commission is payable upon receipt of His grace. And some people that lead people to Christ, they like to, don't I get anything out of this? He asks nothing. And so as a gift, you may accept his promise. He will not degrade himself by listening to any other terms. His terms stand firm. A gift freely given. Tell people of his promised salvation and eternal life, and that they are firm and that they are sure and that they are forever the same, yesterday, today, and forever. You hear this message today? Paul says in closing in Titus, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Doesn't that just fragile you? Don't you get frazzled? How can he do that? Well, he knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded. And don't try to get into the mysteries of God. He knew it. He planned it. And it is so. Isn't that great? And so let us realize today what we really have and share it. The free gift of God, Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world was even founded. The promise, the everlasting covenant. Rest assured that the Lord doesn't trifle with words. Hath he not said, and will he not do it? Can you find any instant, and any instance, when God went back on his word? No, you can't. He gave his son to fulfill the final promise. Better Jesus die than the word of the Lord be broken. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Promises every day are passed between us and we are ready to believe one another. Why cannot we believe God? He demands it. He says, accept me, love me, trust me, follow me. I am the promise. And so, radio audience, and you sitting here today, embrace the promise. Just totally embrace it and don't worry about, well, I wonder if that person will be able to get it. Maybe they have to grow in a lot of righteousness or they won't get it. They'll get it. Don't worry about their walk. God is the author of their walk. The devil makes it pretty hard for people sometimes to even see Jesus Christ. We make it harder by not showing Jesus Christ, and it's a free gift from God, and God will be the author and finisher of that person's faith. I mean, maybe it isn't your, but, you know, a lot of times, see, those that think they're going to be first are going to be last. Those that think they're going to be last are going to be first. Don't judge any person. Don't judge any man. It's the free gift of God, given freely to all that would just ask. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Well, maybe you're at the 11th hour. Praise the Lord. Hi, folks. Did you just come in just now? Oh, I've seen you in here before. Let's pray here. You were all ready. You put your hands right out there. You pray with me, won't you? And pray like this. Say, Dear Lord Jesus,
Dear Lord Jesus,
I am a sinner.
Come into my heart.
And save me.
And
now, Jesus,
baptize and fill me
with God's Holy Spirit.
And with a new language,
I will praise your holy name.
Praise God, I am saved.
And filled
with God's Holy Spirit.
And nothing
can take it away
from me.
Amen.
You know the Bible.
There you have it. That was episode 310. That was part two, To the Grass. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, the show notes, and scripture links. You can also find the podcast by going to www.pastorpaul.org. Join us every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. Next Friday's message, Hungers. Have a great week, and God bless you.
To England or France, you may like to gamble, you might like to dance, you may be the heavyweight champion of the world, you may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes indeed,
you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. A young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread, maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. You may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody. To serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.